The Gemara is giving different nuschois in the Zimun. So the Gemara had said, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and we're holding about 15 lines down, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Nevarech She'achal Mishalai, we saw this already, but we'll start from here, Nevarech She'achal Mishalai, to we should bench to the one who we have eaten from, that's a Talmud Chacham, but Lemi to the one, so Nevarech, that is Eirezer Bur. Rashi explains, because if you use the words Lamisha Chalam Mishalayim, it's mashma that there are many people who are feeding and many people who are giving out. This one feeds that one. And according to this, you're not benching Hashem, you're benching the Balabais who gave you personally food. Because to the one, it's mashma there are others who gave other people food. So you must not be referring to Hashem, you must be referring to the Balabas who gave you food. So that's Eirezer Bur. But we say Lemi to the one who did for our fathers in a bracha. This is something we say to Hashem, and it says Lemi she'asa. So it's, if you're telling me that the word Lemi means is mashma, has the mashmois, has the connotations that if you say it's mashma that there are other people there as well, so then how come we're allowing ourselves to say this? And Amalei, he responded, "Hasa mukhacha milsa man." Over there, the very words itself are indicative that we are referring to Hashem, because man oved nisa, who does miracles, only Kudsha Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one who does miracles. Therefore, if we say thank you to the one who does nisim, obviously we're talking to Hashem. But if we're saying thank you to the one who has given me food, to the one, as mashma, there are others, so you might be referring to the Balabayas. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Baruch she'achal mishalai, harezu tamun chacham. But if you add in the words al hamazon she'achal mishalai, Baruch al hamazon she'achal mishalai, then harezu bur. I think this is because... it's mashma that you're thanking the food itself. That's what I think it's the problem is over here. Rashi doesn't say anything, but I think that's the problem. Rashi doesn't say anything here.
The note says here, for he appears to be blessing food rather than God, with Rosh Rashi, as explained by Beis Yosef, or Chaya, and Salah.
Does it say the Rashi on the riff? There is no Rashi on that.
It refers to a Toysuis in... there's nothing, just Toysuis also.
Also, it's strange that he says riff and rush before Rashi. So, okay, it could be Toysuis, says it. Ala mazan ar zabur, mazan dvarach labalabayas, shema achila, hila rachman alam hu mazkir mazan. No, Toysuis, he says... is Taisa learns differently than I just said. Taisa says that it's mashma, you're benching the Balabayas that gave you food. Because if it's to Hashem, why does he have to mention food? Without food, there's much to mention. So Taisa learns differently. But according to the simple explanation of the Gemara, which you're now telling me the Riff and the Rush, and maybe Rashi learn also, it is mashma, the food. Okay? So... Let me see the note, just because it's so strange.
16. For he appears to be blessing the food. Riff, Rashi, as explained by Beis Yosef.
Yep, it says it. It's strange. There is no Rashi there. That's strange. Okay. Al hamazon she'achalnu harezabur. Amar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Lo yamarn ela begimel. That's only if you there's three people there, so you didn't say to whom you are blessing. However, deleka shem shemaim alav ba'asar. But once you have 10 people, deiko shem shemaim, where you said baruch she'achal mishaloi, we're holding first wide line nun amar aleph muchach milsa. Then it is muchach milsa. Then it is a that already itself indicates who you are blessing for. Kidet nan ke'inyan shehu mevarech kach einin achrav. The same way as it states in our Mishnah, the same way they answer, the same way you bench, they answer. And it says Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvak Yisrael Vakruvim Al Amazon She'achalnu. So we see that if you mention Hashem's name, it is a proper. Even the Mishnah states that it's proper to mention to mention the Mazon. Says the Gemara, Echad Asara ve'Echad Asara Ribui. Whether it's 10 or whether it's 10,000, it's the same thing. You only say the expression Baruch Elokeinu Shachanu Mishleinu Tzevichinu. The question is, as we asked in the Mishnah, the very next line says, but there's a difference. If there's 100, you say this. If it's 1,000, you say this. If it's 10,000, you say that. So which one is it? Is there no difference past 10? Or is it 100? Or is it that there is a difference? Every 10, every 100, every 1,000? Says the Gemara, Hagufa Kasha. The Gemara says, Amrit Echad Asar V'Echad Asar Riboy. You say, for everyone, 10 and 10,000 is the same. Alma Ki Hadadi Ninu. We see that they are all equal once you're past the number 10. But the very next line in the Mishnah states, V'Adar Katani, V'Meya Omer, you say, in 100, you say the following. V'Elef Omer, with 1,000, you say the following. V'Ribuya Omer, with 10,000, you say the next following. So we see that there are differences. Rav Yosef, like Kasha, Rav Yosef says there's no question. It's two different opinions. Like that's the way we read the Mishnah. Ha Rabbi Yosef Haglili, Ha Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Haglili, who, as states in the end of the Mishnah, there is a difference based on how many people are there. The nusach that you use is different. And Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that there is no difference. The Tnan, as we have in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Haglili, Amar Lafi Roiv Akal Hei Mevarchem, based on the multitude of the people, based on the amount of people there, that corresponding to that is how you will make a bracha using the word the nusach shenemar. As it says, B'makelois Baruch Elokim, as it says, in great multitudes you will bless Hashem. Rabbi Akiva, Mama Tzina Bebeis HaKnesses. Rabbi Akiva responded to Rabbi Yossi, and he says, listen, in the Beis Knesses, it doesn't make a difference how many people are there. You say the same Nusach Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, I crowd Rabbi Yossi Glili, my Ovid. What does Rabbi Akiva do with that Pasuk of Rabbi Yossi Glili, where it says, B'ma Keilois Baruch Hu Elekim? Says the Gemara, Mi Ba'ile Lekedetanya, he needs it for the following Braisa, Hoya Rabbi Meir, Omer, Minayin Shafilu, Ubarin, Shebemei Iman, Omru Shira Al Hayam. How do you know that even fetuses in their mother's womb said Shira on the sea? Shenemar, as it says, B'ma Keilois Baruch Hu Elekim Hashem, Mimkar Yisrael. They bless Hashem from the Mekar, from the source, which is the uterus. V'idach mikar nafka, mimikar nafka. So what does Rabbi basically says? Yeah, that's the end of the pasuk. But what do you do from the beginning of the pasuk? But Rabbi Akiva doesn't respond. Amar Rabbi Halacha Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. Ravina and Rav Chama Barbuzi ekloil bei Reish Kalusa. Ravina and Rav Chama Barbuzi were visiting the Reish Kalusa. Kam Rav Chama v'kam hadar abei meya. And Rav Chama went outside and was trying to get up to the number 100. Amar Ravina lo tzrichas. You do not have to get any more. Hachi Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, there's no difference in the nusach that we're going to say. Amarava, ki achlinan rifta be reish kalusa, when I was eating the bread by the reish kalusa, mevarchinan gimel gimel. We split up afterwards into groups of three. Three and three, and each of us made our own zimun. So the Gemara says, why don't you do 10 groups of 10? Mevarchu asar asar. The Gemara says, shama reish kalusa ve'ikvid. That's a whole matzif. 10 people banding together. Imagine by a wedding. You have like in the middle of the wedding, baruch elokeinu shechal mishlech. We're in the middle of the second dance. It's a whole, like, you know, it makes a whole period. You want to bench by a wedding, so bench quietly to yourself and leave. Nobody's saying you have to stay to the end of the wedding. But don't make a whole, like, okay, we're ending the wedding now. So the Reish Kalusa will hear. So you want to make three people together, that's also fine.
What was the problem? What is the Reish Kalusa doing that he wasn't part of it?
Oh, the Ikbet. So the Gemara says, V'nifki b'brikos of the Reish Kalusa. Why don't they yaitse with the bracha of the Reish Kalusa? Why don't they wait for him? The Gemara says, there were so many people there that they weren't able to hear him. I did the avsha, since there were so many people there, kuli alma, I did the avsha, kuli alma, loy shamya, they were not able to hear. Omar Rabba Toispa says, Hani gimel dikarchi rifta bahadi adadi, these three people that broke bread, in other words, that ate with each other, v'kodim chad minayu ubarich, and one of them benched early, the daite, probably by himself, inun nafkin bezimun didei, good morning, they could be yoytze by having him join Zimun. They will be yoytze with Zimun by having him join. But he personally, loy nafik bezimun did who. He will not be yoytze his Zimun. Lefisha ain Zimun lamafreya. You can't do Zimun lamafreya. So in other words, there's three people there, one of them benched already, he could still answer, and they could still say Zimun, but he's not going to be yoytze. He lost out. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, so the Gemara has a machlokes in the Mishnah, when saying Baruch Hu, do you say Baruch Hu as Hashem, HaMavayrach? That was Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and Rabbi Shmuel said, no, you say Baruch Hu as Hashem, HaMavayrach. First one was Baruch Hu es Hashem, not the Hamavarach. Rafa and Bar Papa Iklo the Beit Kanishta the Abi Gibor. Rav and Bar Papa was visiting the shul in Abu Ghibir. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you see all these interesting little villages called Abu this, Abu that. He was getting up to read in the Torah, get an aliyah. Va'omer baruch hu es Hashem v'ishtik, and he was quiet. V'loi omar hamavaira, and he didn't say the final word of hamavaira. And just imagine the situation. Baruch hu es Hashem, and he was quiet. And everybody's waiting. Avshik kol yama, baruch hu es Hashem hamavaira. They were all saying, nu hamavaira. Omer rava, pas yo'uchmi, which is like, pasi is like a pottery dish that's black. Bahadi plugda, he was calling him a name. Bahadi plugda, lama lecha, why do you need to get yourself involved in a machlekes? Everybody paskins like Rabbi Shmuel. What are you getting involved for? There's a goin that says that on Rosh Hashanah you only do the ksiva. And the chasima happens on Yom Kippur for everybody, because there's a machlekes in the sugyas. Does everything happen on Rosh Hashanah, or does everybody get signed on Yom Kippur? It's a machlekes. So the goyin says that the signing happens on Yom Kippur. He answers the sugya that way. So in that case, when we say on Rosh Hashanah b'night, l'shana teva tikosei v'seichosem. So first of all, la'alt l'chaim tevim l'shalom is added on anyways. So some people just say l'shana teva tikosei v'seichosem. But if you're a goyinik, then you shouldn't even say v'seichosem. So there was one younger man here who decided not to say v'seichosem. So everybody's going around, l'shana teva, tikosev. And so whenever he went first, he was l'shana teva, tikosev. And you're sitting there shaking his hand and just like waiting for him to go on. Like, l'shana teva, tikosev. Okay, l'shana teva, tikosev, v'seichosem. But that's what reminds me of when I learned this Gemara. But it's always like a stop short and you expect him to go by him. Gimel, and like you think maybe there's something stuck in his throat for a bit, but then you realize he's not doing it. Gimel she'achlu ka'achas. Three people that ate by themselves. Einon reshoin l'chalik. They are not allowed to split up. V'chein dalet, v'chein chamisha. And so to four and five eating together as well. But vav, they could split up into two separate groups of three if they so desire. Vav nechalukin. Ad asar, once they hit 10. V'asar, you can't split up because you have to say elokeinu. Ein nechalukin until you get to 20. Ad chaf. Shtei chaburish ahu oichles b'bayis echa. Two groups in one house. Bizman shemiktosun royin elu es elu. If you're able to see, even some of them are able to see some of the other group. Harei elu mitzdaf. And you're able to have one group of zimun. Zimun ve'im lav, but if they're not able to see each other, elu mezamnin la'atzman ve'elu mezamnin la'atzman, they should each make their own separate zimun. Ein b'varchan al yayin ad she'itin l'teichai mayim, a person should not make a bracha on wine until he dilutes it. This is back in the day when the wine was extremely strong. It was like syrup. It was like our petal syrup that you have. Or sometimes you have syrup. Some people have a syrup that you have to dilute it with wine. That was the wine back then. And it was impossible to drink it straight. It was just way too strong and sweet or whatever it was. Devi Rabbi Eliezer, Chamaim Mevarchen. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Chamaim say, no, you are able to. So the question isn't, are you drinking it like that? The question is, when you're making the bracha, should you make the bracha before or after it's diluted?
What's this concept of Rav Hadras Melech by Zimun?
Yeah, there's definitely a concept of Rav Hadras Melech. The question is, are you allowed to?
So why is it different here than in...
No, it's not different. You're asking a good question, but the question is, are you allowed to or not? Right? You're definite. You're allowed to daven in Anshei Matala, even though it's not, I'm saying you have a minion, but it doesn't have a Ravam.
Right, so you're allowed to do both.
Exactly. You don't it's a nice thing to have a Ravam. You want to know, where should you hear the Megillah? Should you go to Bells in Eretz Yisrael, or should you go to, Anshei Matala? So then you could do whatever you want, but it would be a nice minion to go there. That's what a revenge is. But yeah, it's a good question. Okay, my Kamash Milan says the Gemara. What is the Chiddush? Tanina Chada Zimna. We already had one Mishnah which states Gimel She'achlu Ka'achas Chayovin L'Zamin. Three people that eat together, they are required to make a Zimun. The Gemara answers, Hakamash. So what's the Mishnah teaching you that three people have to make a Zimun? Hakamash Milan. It's teaching you the following thing. Number one, Kihada Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel Gimel She'yashbu Le'echol Ka'achas. Three people that are eating to eat, that are sitting down to eat as one. Va'adain Lo'achlu, and they still did not yet eat. Einan Rishon L'Chalik. They're not allowed to split up. Once they decided to eat together, they can't say like, oh, let's not eat together just so we don't have to have a Zimun. I think one person can say like, oh, I'm remembering I'm fasting today, or I'm talking out in the mood. But if they are going to eat, then they should eat together. I assume that's what it means. Lishna Achrina, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Haki Katani, Gimel Sheyashvu Le'echol Ka'achas, three people that sit down to eat as one. Afal Pisha Kol Echad Le'echad Oichel Miki Karai, even though each one is eating from his own sandwich, from his own brown paper bag, Einan Rishoyin L'chalik, they're not allowed to split themselves up. Inami, Kihad, Rav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna, I'll turn it over, it's teaching you a third thing. Like Rav Huna said, the Amar Rav Huna, Gimel Shabomi, Bigimel Chaburas. If you have three people coming from three separate Chaburas, Einan Rishoyin L'chalik. So you have three people. There was nine people to start the day. They all ate their own in their own groups of three. For whatever reason, they did not make a zimun in their own place, and now they somehow met together. They're now eating together in. They now met together. So since they all started off eating, being chayv and zimun, albeit it's different people, they're still allowed to make a zimun. Who should bo megimel chaburis? Shall gimel b'nei adam. It can't be that they came from. It has to be that they started their meal from with a group of three. So you have three people coming from three groups of three. Amar Rava, v'loy amaran ella d'loy akdimu hanach v'izmin alayu b'duchtayu. That's only if these people did not make zimun in their place. Once they were yaitzi zimun in their original place, then you cannot have them join up to this new zimun. Aval azmun alayu biduchtayu. But if they made zimun on them in biduchtayu in their original place, duchta is a place. Parach zimun minayu. Then parach means it flew away. The zimun flew away minayu from them. Meaning, you can no longer use them for a new zimun, even though they continue to eat afterwards. So Reuven and Shimon and Levi are sitting in a corner in a booth. They're eating together. Reuven and Shimon decide to leave. So they make a zimun and they leave. And Levi is sitting there continuing to eat a sandwich. He cannot join up afterwards with another group because he was already yotze his zimun for that meal.
Even though he ate together with the other group?
If they ate together with the other group, that might be different. If the subsequent group of all three people ate together. That might be different. Let me see, it's not in the Gemara, but I remember the Shulchan Aruch talking about that, Mishnah Berura. So, 1 second. This is in Kuf Tzadi Gimel.
It's not a group of six where you lose two?
No, because it could be that they started it's like they started a new thing since they ate together. I think I remember, there is... It says even if they go ahead and eat.
So he cannot join in the next zimun.
They still have to make a zimun. They still have to bench, obviously, but they can't make a zimun.
How come this is different than like Kiddush and you all see other people? Why can't they be all seeing their Zima? Just like by Kiddush.
What do you mean?
Well, you know you can be all see people, right?
Yeah.
So now they're maybe all seeing a Zima.
I mean, we are being all seeing. The question is...
They want to make a Zima.
Well, the question is, could you... The question is, you need people for a Zima.
So they don't count no matter what.
Right. So anyways, they're not saying it.
Why don't they count?
Anyway, Zimun is exactly like Kiddush is. Zimun is exactly like Kiddush. That one person is saying it for everybody. They are being yaitzed to them. The question is, could you count them? You need three people. But you can't be yaitzed to that person. One person could say the words, but you need people there.
But even if they're not obligated to make Kiddush, they can be yaitzed to other people by Kiddush.
Saying the words.
Not if they're not there.
Yeah, so why can't we be yaitzed by Zimun?
If you have one person to say the words for other people, you could, but you need three people who are chayv and zimun. It has nothing to do with saying the words. Saying the words, maybe you could. Just to utter the words. That's the thing about uttering the words. You want to go ahead and say Havdalah for somebody else? Havdalah specifically, maybe not. But Havdalah, you want to go ahead and say Havdalah? You could.
So they could say the words, but they won't be yotzei.
It won't be counted. You need three people who are chayv. Let's say you have three people who are chayev and one person who didn't bench. Maybe he could say it for them. Maybe. It's not possible that you could. But... All right, the Gemara brings down a similar idea where it's parach, the thing from it, which is a pretty interesting tzushtel, in my opinion. But Amar Rava, we have to understand it. Amar Rava, mino aminala, how do I know that there's such a thing called parach zimun minayu d'etnan? Mita shen nignava chatzeha, if you have a bed, that was tameh. And half of it became stolen. So the halacha is that items that become tameh, half can retain will retain their tumma until they are broken. So if half of the bed was stolen, guy couldn't, other half was chained to the wall, so he just took away the first half. Oisha of the chatzeha, or half of it was lost. That I'm not sure how it happened. Oisha chalkuha achen, or brothers split it, and this one took half, and this one took half. Oisha shutfin, or partners. The halacha is it's tahir. It's a broken bed now. So even if it was tameh, it now became tahir. Hechzira, if it was returned, the two halves were returned to their place. Mikabelos tuma mikainu laba. From now on, it's able to get tuma, even though it had tuma and it never went to the mikveh, never got its tuma off. The fact that it was broken for a certain time, that itself knocks off the tuma. From now on, it's a bed and it can contract tuma, but the old tuma it will not retain. Mikainu laba en. From now on, it will have tumah. But lamafreya, the tumah that it had once is gone. Loi, what do we see? Alma, we see kevin de palgua, since it was split. Parach la tumah mine, this tumah fell off of it. Tachanami, so it's over here. Kevin de azmun alayhu, since they already did zimun in their place. Parach zimun minayhu, the zimun was gone.
What's the comparison between tumah and zimun?
That's exactly what I said. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a hard sushi. I mean, I understand both halachas, and yes, the similar words. That's parach zimun minayhu. But, I mean, what are we showing exactly that we didn't understand before this, that we need this mashal? And he's like, from where do I know this concept? What, once you see that concept, you're like, oh, that's pshat here too? Alma came in with, Paka shem mita mina, mishem tuma. Alpha gav the hadar hadrua. He came in the Paka shem shloisha, Rashi says, you know, since the shem shloisha was Paka from them, V'shem zimun alidei shezimnu harishayim aleihem avagav dehadri leklal shem shloisha lehadri leklal zimun. Not only that, but lefi this, I would say that if they continue to eat together, then they should be chayiv in zimun, because it's just like they were mekabel tuma again. Paka zimun minayu, but they started again, just like you put like somebody who was tummy lay down on that bed again. So, I don't know exactly. Also, it's like a specific thing with this bed. Everybody knows this halacha, that if you broke a keli, and it retained and it went back together, it's tahar. Like, what's special about this mita? There's obviously something deeper here that you know. All right. Let's continue on. I mean, I'm comfortable enough to go on. I think we have the pshat. I just think there's the questions that you can ask are more stark over here and standing out. But I mean, I'm comfortable with the tirchi of the Gemara, and that's the explanation. The Gemara is proving just like over there, you have parach tumah minayhu. So over here, you have parach tumah minayhu. I think we can ask questions that A, there's 100 mishnayos like that, and B, there is what exactly is the tzushta for these concepts? Okay. Beis Chaburis. The Gemara says, if there are two groups and they cannot see each other, they cannot join up with each other. However, Tano, there's a Braisa that states, Im yesh shamash beinahem, if there is a waiter waiting on both tables, then the shamash is mitzarf, and the shamash is able to join them up together. Ein mevorchen al hayayin. One is not, let's say, this had by this past kolal dinner they had in the Ziegler's auto thing. And there was some groups that were, you know, over there, and some groups over here. Some of them were not able. You weren't able to see both groups. So, are you able to have one zimun? The two groups couldn't see each other. There was one big room, but are you able to have one zimun? For anybody who stayed to the end. So the answer is that since there was one wait staff, well, first of all, you could have the dais. The dais even also couldn't really see the second group.
Some could see each other. We said in the mission.
Yeah, so if you could see each other, then fine. But I'm not sure you could see each other. Yeah, if you park group could see park group, that's also fine. I don't even know, though. If when you were sitting down, I don't know if you're able to see the other group. Let's assume not. If not, nevertheless, I mean, for sure you couldn't see the lady side and everything like that. But the terrace is, since you have the same wait staff.
Is the wait staff the same thing as a waiter? A waiter?
Yeah.
A person serving the whole room.
Because I don't think there was a specific, I don't think there's a specific, like, you know, detail for that table and detail for this table. One waiter would sometimes find their way over here and find their way over there. So then you're able to join them up. Okay, Ein Mevorchin al Hayayin, Ten Rabbanan Yayin, Ad Shaloi Nosa L'Toichai Mayim, Ein Mevorchin Olav. This wine, even before you put it into the, before you put water into it, says the Braisa, the Tanakhama of this Braisa, Ein Mavarchan Alav Bayre Priya Gofen. You're not able to make a bracha Bayre Priya Gofen on it because it is not yet ready to drink. Ella, actually, if you're planning on drinking it like this, Ella, what would you say? You would say Bayre Priya Eitz. You could use it to wash your hands. In other words, it doesn't have the chashivas of wine that you can't waste it for anything else. You could use it to wash your hands. Once you put water in it, so then mevarchin alav bayrei pri hagafen. You may that at that point you have to start making a bayrei gafen. The ein neutlin b'menuli time you cannot waste it to wash your hands. Divrei Rabbi Elazar v'chamayim no. Benkach benkach even in its syrupy state mevarchin alav bayrei pri hagafen. You say bayrei pri hagafen. The ein neutlin hemenuli time and you cannot use it. You cannot use fruit juice to wash your hands either. Keman as lahada amar Shmuel oisa adam kol tzurachav bepas. Who is the following statement of Shmuel accord with that he states that one is able to do all of his tzurachav. He can do anything he wants with bread. Let's say he needs to use it as a paperweight. You're allowed to use it as a paperweight. It's not considered a bizoyan for Eichlin. Keman, who is this like? It's Rabbi Elazar. It's like Rabbi Eliezer, who states that you're allowed to wash your hands with fruit juice. Amar Rabbi Yaisi. Let's just see. Kimadal Himavzain is in Kuf Samach.
What would be the issue with fruit juice? Is it because you daf can eat water or because you're
no.
Bizoyan to the Jews?
I believe it's Bizoyan to the Jews. I think that's the issue. Because, especially since in Kuf Samach, which is Netil Sidaim. So, 1 second. No, but the Gemara says they're able to do called Tzracha Bepas. That goes with Rabbi Eliezer. So, it's in Kuf Samach. Yud Beis. Hashali Babar, oh, this is in Hilchos Tefillin Sidayim. Yesh Misha Omer She'ein Noi Tefillin Sidayim Rishenim El B'mayim Belvad. Yesh Omer She'ein Kosher Lein Tefillin Sidayim. Bein Lasson Atoichoi Bein Mayim. Yeah, Elisha also came last week. Elisha Kedesh Lo Yehek Mezalzel B'davar Choshev She'nishtani Leluya Yad Shekeve Baruch Ala Atzmai. Yesh Omer Davka Yain Lovan Aval Edoim Lai. Yesh Misha Omer She'kol Mei Peres Ru'uim Lein Tefillin Sidayim B'shas Adchak. Because she came to mutter little biyadayim b'shas adchak b'sheichar b'medvash. Yeah, so l'chadchila you should use water because there are opinions that state that you're only allowed to use water. This is the Ravid. The Ravid holds you're only allowed to use water. And the Rajba holds that you could use even wine. However, because of bizoyin oichlim, our Gemara, you cannot. So our Rajba learns our Gemara because of bizoyin oichlim. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Moedim Chachamim to Rabbi Lazar b'Koyish Shel Bracha. The Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Lazar by a Koyish Shel Bracha. She'ein by making a bracha on any of the brachas of brachas of Mazon on the Koyish or any of the mitzvahs. She'ein mevarchin alav ad she'itin, or havdalah, or kiddush. She'ein mevarchin alav ad she'itin l'teichai mayim. You shouldn't make the bracha on it before you put water into it and dilute it and make it ready for drinking. My taima amar b'ayishia be'inan mitzvah min amuvchar. Because when breaking a bracha on a mitzvah, you want to have a good cup of wine, a cup of wine that's ready to use. And it's wine, not that thick syrup. Rabbanan l'maycha. Nowadays, the wine that we get is obviously all already diluted. There's a funny joke with the Satmar Rebbe in Kedem. But I forget the exact thing. But something along the lines of, are you allowed to dilute grape juice or something like that? And he threw a line at Kedem, like they already diluted it way beyond whatever. But it was a funny line. I just don't remember the exact conversation. So, but nowadays, the wine and the grape juice that we get is all diluted already. My taima, according to the Rabbanan, what you're saying, Bari Priha Gafen on this thick syrupy wine, this undiluted wine, what is it? What can it be used for? You're saying you're making a Bari Priha Gafen on this, as if it's, and you're going to drink it like this. What could it be used for? The Gemara answers likuraiti, which Rashi says is is the Lashon Chachamim, it's the Gemara's Lashon, for the drinks that we came across earlier, the Anumlis and Aluntis, which is a wine-based vegetable soup, where they would put in different vegetables and soaked them there. So it had wine. It was a wine base. So it was good for that. What? It doesn't. No. It sounds like it was just a. It was just a dish. A dish. It sounds like. It sounds like it was something to eat. Like borscht. That type. I would think you need a refuah after. Tanu Rabbanan Dala Dvarim Namru Bavas. There are four things that are said about bread. Ein Manichin Basar Chai Alapas. You should not put raw meat on bread because it will become gross. You get the raw meat, it's, you know, it seeps out this red juice. The Ein Mavirin Kais Mole Alapas. You're not allowed to pass a full cup over wine because anytime you pass a full cup, generally there are spills, and you do not want to ruin your bread. Ve'in zarkin es ha'pas, you're not allowed to throw bread. Ve'in simchin es ha'ka'ara ba'pas, and you should not use the bread to hold up a plate or to hold up a bowl. Don't use it as one of the legs. Earlier we mentioned that there are some that have the minhag to throw, right? Some have the minhag to throw the bread of the bracha. But so it says the Gemara, Amemar Marzuchin Rav Ashi Karachu Rifta Badi Adadi. Amemar Marzuchin Rav and Rav Ashi were eating bread together, having a meal together. Aisi Lekaimaihu Tamri Vrimoini. And they brought as well dates and pomegranates. Shokol Marzuchra. Marzuchra took one. And Pasak Lekaimai to Rav Ashi. Pasak, he threw it. Pasak, he threw it. Lekaimai to Rav Ashi in front of Rav Ashi. A distana. Distana is a piece of meat. So, I'm not sure why it's important that they had Tamri and Rimini. Do you not hold of what we stated, that it is prohibited to throw foods? So, my answer is, Ahibe pas, Tanya. No, that statement that you just said, that it's prohibited to throw foods, that was specifically by bread. You shouldn't throw bread. But meat, if you could throw, you want to throw a steak? Throw it.
Our school says it was a mistake. That it was really pomegranates because it was something that wouldn't be repulsive
when right. thrown. Like oh, so he threw the pomegranate?
Right.
So they take out the word distana?
They just said it's misquoted.
Mm. Okay.
Misplaced.
Oh, fine. Oh, yeah, I see on the side here. Marcia says there's another. Okay, good. That makes sense also because I kind of it's hard to like throw steak. A pomegranate, I could hear you tossing a pomegranate. Like, you know, throwing everybody a pomegranate at the table. But to throw a steak, it's like you see a guy with a pile of steaks and he's tossing them out. Like, just imagine the scene. Okay. Yeah, so that's kind of difficult. So I could hear tossing a pomegranate, you know, a nice fruit with a...
You said it would get ruined.
Well, a pomegranate.
No,
the meat would, yeah, exactly, right. Meat would get ruined, right. A pomegranate might, even if you miss the throw, I'm saying it's not going to get ruined. Okay. In the same way you can't throw bread, so too are you not allowed to throw food. So it says it's not only going by bread, because there's another brisa that says it's applied to food as well. So he responded, well, I have a brisa that says that it is mutter. Vahatanya, I have a brisa which states, you are allowed to throw other foods. So, how do we reconcile these two brises? El aloi kasha. Habamidi de mamis. Habamidi de loi mamis. It depends on if the food itself in question will get ruined. This is something that will get ruined. This is something that won't get ruined. So, a piece of meat or maybe sponge cake. If you throw it, it's going to get ruined. But if you throw a pomegranate or a candy or something like that, that won't get ruined.
I thought the purpose of the throwing was because we wanted to... When they did carbonos, they threw it to the people. So therefore, we have a reason. Now you're making a general idea: does it get ruined or not? And
right.
And it doesn't look right to throw it anyway. So
right.
That's totally opposite of what that reason was.
Where did we have that reason? It was carbonos. That was the reason that they threw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, it's not going with this this thing. Or alternatively, maybe that's specifically the piece that they made the bracha on. Yeah, specifically that piece, the original piece that they made the bracha on. It's probably the answer. Specifically that piece. To do Zrika on it.
So you're saying you can do that to anything now? Because if you make the bracha on it, it's okay?
No. I follow the minhag. If the minhag is by bread.
By bread, that's okay. That. So why are they throwing all the other stuff?
No, the other stuff the other stuff that it depends on whether it gets ruined or not. Something that's not going to get ruined, you're allowed to toss. Anyway, you can toss a hard-boiled egg.
Look right to throw food.
Well, I'm
saying to the food.
That's what we're saying. That's the sugya. The sugya is bizarin to the food, and that we're saying it's not a bizarin.
Why not?
Because it's not a bizarin. I have to pass it. I don't have to stand up and walk over. I could toss it. It's not called a bizarin. That's exactly what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara is saying it's not a bizarin to food to have it tossed, it's so long as it won't get ruined. That is the purpose. That's the sugya of the Gemara. The sugya is handling having bizarin to eichlin and saying it's not a bizarin to throw it, so long as it's food that will not get ruined. Now you have other inyanim. Maybe there's an inyan to throw the first one because it's a carbon. I don't remember. We mentioned. I don't remember the reasons. That was the reason? Okay, so if that's the reason, so then that's specifically by the first piece of bread that you make a thing on. I told you my father doesn't. I don't think he has carbonus in mind. Maybe he does. I don't know. He does it because it's the minik, probably.
But that's why it's
the minik. I hear. But he only does the first one. Yeah, it's not like he's tossing bread through the meal. Yeah, you're spacing out and suddenly get hit on the side of the head of the piece of bread. But
I think it also says somewhere that it's dependent upon whether it's going to get ruined by hitting the floor.
So yeah.
It's going to get destroyed.
That's our sugya, no? Our sugya is saying if it will get ruined when you throw it. Yeah. And so then it's prohibited to do, not because of anything else, but rather because it is bizayin da'ichlin. So if you have, let's say, a fresh fig is something that'll get ruined. If you throw it, it'll get crushed, it'll get... But
if it's a pomegranate, it's not a discussion.
Exactly.
If it lands on the floor, you pick it up.
Exactly. And then you proceed to peel. Yep. Or an orange.
But so if you have people who, let's say, are all quarterbacks at a table, they can throw the food around because they're all gonna be able to catch it.
Yes, if you can, they put millions of dollars on their on their throws. But I would say that even then, I mean, if you can't throw a fat fig at them, it might squish, and the catch, unless they're really trained to be gentle.
And it's probably also a low plug.
That could be. I would say, what happens if you have a quarterback who they want to play, they want to practice their catching, so they want to like practice catching gently, so they use eggs or something like that. You allowed to do that? You're using an egg. It's an interesting shaila. How would
a raw egg?
No, because they specifically want to practice.
What?
Yeah. So what happens if you have a Jewish one? That's are you allowed to do that? I would say yeah, because it's coming for use. The same way you're allowed to take an egg and I'm not using it. You're right, it is food and technically it could be, but I'm not. I would tell them maybe to try to use water balloons, but if they want to use an egg, then maybe it's mutter. I'm not sure. I would lean towards saying yeah. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Mamshichin Yain B'Tzinoiros Lefnei Chasen V'Lefnei Kalal. I used to have back in the day. They used to have like a gutter system where they used to running alongside or in front of the chasen kala, and they used to have wine flowing through it as sort of a simen toiv that they should become like wine, so like wine flowing through them, wine flowing around them. It was a simen toiv. So they used to do that. So what is that? Is that a memshichin? You're allowed to do that. Lefnei chasen v'lefnei kalah v'zorkin lefneihem kloyos. The goyim also, you're allowed to throw nuts, and kloyos is toasted seeds. B'maisa chama during the summer, avaloi b'maisa gishamim, but not during the winter months. Avaloi. So why? Says Rashi, because nothing's getting wasted. The wine is being cut at the end, and you're putting it back in a barrel. And these nuts will be picked up by kids. That's why it's mutter to throw. At a chasen. You know, we throw these candies and everything by a bar mitzvah or by an ofrof. We throw bags of candies. Why is that mutter? You're throwing food. The answer is it's food that will not get ruined once it's on the floor. Avalo b'mesik shem, you can't do it during the winter months. That was back when they had mud floors in the shuls. However, avaloi glus ko'ois, you cannot do bread. Lo b'mesik cham, avalo b'mesik shem, you cannot use bread. You cannot throw bread during even the summer months, because bread will get ruined. You toss bread at somebody else, it will get ruined. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shachach v'hichnes oichlin l'teich piv, b'loi bracha. A a person puts food in his mouth without saying a bracha, there are three different options to do, depending on the circumstances. One says, misalkin letzarechad, put it to one side of your mouth, umavarech, and make a bracha, while it's still in your mouth. Tanya chada, we have one brisa who says, boilon, you swallow it. Vatanya idach pelton, one brisa says, you spit it out. Vatanya idach misalkin, and the brisa we just had says, you put it to the side of your mouth and make a bracha, and the Gemara says, loikasha. Hada tanya boilon, the one that says that you swallow it, it's bemashkin. It's talking about juice or water with liquids. Because you can't spit it out, and you can't put it to the side of your mouth and make a bracha with it. You can't make a bracha with liquid on the side of your mouth. You just can't articulate the words properly. So you don't have to spit it out because that will cause it to become gross, and you're not going to drink it. So you're not going to waste it. So you just swallow it. This that it says spit it out is something that will not get ruined. You have a hard candy or something that won't get ruined by spitting it out. You can put it right back in your mouth. That you should take out, make the bracha, and put it back in. But meat delay mam is something that is not gross by pulling out. If you're in the middle of, you know, 1 minute into chewing, you know, salami, then it's not a good idea to take it out. Technically, you could take it out, but that would be absolutely gross. So therefore, in that case, that's when you say, you put it to the side of your mouth. But meat delay mam is something that is gross. Something that is gross, you just shove to the side of the mouth and make the bracha while it is there.
How do we possibly...
No, I mean, kipshute not. Hey, there's times of emergency.
You couldn't just have in mind the bracha at that point in time without saying the words out loud.
He's saying, let's say by the case of the drinks, why don't we just do that? You just don't make a bracha. So the Rama actually says that since you remembered before it goes down, you have a chi of bracha. So you swallow it and then you say a bracha. But we don't pass like that. We say just let it go down and you don't say a bracha, you lost out. So you want to know, why don't you just say it in your mind? There is an opinion of the Ravid that says that you shouldn't have another. He says you should spit it out. But let's say you're really thirsty, you're not going to drink this, so then you don't have to rely on his opinion. You could go ahead and swallow it and not make a bracha. If there's tons more drinks and nobody's going to get grossed out by you spitting out water and whatever, then it can't hurt to do that. So, but if you're sitting at a table and you're spitting it back into your cup and it's gross, you're going to ruin the meal, just swallow it. And if you have more drinks there, then you say a shahako right away on the next drink. But even if you don't have any more drinks, it's better just to swallow it and not gross everybody else out. Nobody mentions your eitzah though. You may as well think about the bracha, because there is such a thing. There's a day that says that it works, so why don't we just get him? I don't know, it's an interesting question. Yeah?
I was just drinking water.
Oh, you're Makai in the Gemara. So, what you should do is, now that you have more water, you should say a bracha now. Okay, good.
If you spit it out, aren't you over about tashis? Or it doesn't matter at this point?
So, the Ravid holds that it's better to not. It's better to waste it than to eat without a bracha. I don't know if you're over about tashis. You wasted, but in this case, it's better to... to eat without a bracha. It's better than eating without a bracha.
Well, they're both in Rabbanan, right? Tashkis is in Rabbanan also.
Yeah, but still, it's not better than to... Not every time you imagine you have a strawberry shortcake, and like, listen, if I eat this, I'm not going to be healthy. So I'm saying, Tashkis doesn't have to mean, like, you know, if you can't eat it, you can't eat it. There's no mitzvah to go to every wedding, and it's like, okay, instead of throwing it out, let me eat it. You don't have to...
You'll have to throw food out if you don't eat it.
What do you want? What should we do? FedEx it to Africa?
To the port or something. That's what people do.
If you could, that would be a nice thing to do. That's not because of Baal Tashchis. That's because you may as well get a mitzvah. Instead of throwing it out, you could do, that's a great idea if you could. But let's say you're 2/3 of your way through a corned beef sandwich and you're downtown and you offered it to the guy on the corner of McCormick and he's going to punch you. So what do you do with the sandwich? You're full. Wrap it up, put it in the back of your car along with yesterday's corned beef sandwich and then wait till the pile of mold grows. I mean, sometimes you just got to throw it out. You should buy a half a corned beef sandwich from now on. But no, this is a problem. But I don't think it's called Baal Tashchis if you just can't get it down. Okay. All right.